I appreciate you being here. This is August the 17th, 2025. And today we're going to finish out the lesson that we had for last week. We started on facing opposition. We looked at this last week out of the book of Nehemiah. And we're looking at Nehemiah chapter 4. And we're going through chapter 6 today. Last Sunday, I covered several areas with you on that. We looked at Nehemiah's first opposition, and that was ridicule. They ridiculed them for rebuilding the wall. And you know what? Opposition is no fun thing to have to go through, is it? When folks oppose the work of God, and you're trying to help people, and you're trying to give them the gospel, and do things to help them, and they just make fun, they mock, and things like that. And, you know, sometimes we just don't know how to handle it. What do you do when the opposition comes? Well, Nehemiah here gives us some good examples here, and he shows us what we need to do when we face opposition. He faced ridicule. We saw where he responded through prayer, and God blessed and strengthened the people through prayer. And Nehemiah was faithful to pray for his people. He prayed for those people that were rebuilding these walls and these gates. He lifted them up in prayer and he asked God for his help. And then he faced a second opposition, and that was discouragement. Discouragement. Have any of you ever been discouraged?
Yes.
Anybody ever get discouraged? You know what? We all get discouraged sometimes, don't we? Amen. We all get discouraged. What do you do with it? How do you face all that? Man, you got to take it to the Lord. And when you take it to the Lord, you leave it there. Amen. And he is the great strengthener of the child of God. And then we saw how he responded with both faith and strategy. He had a plan of what he wanted to do about rebuilding that wall. And then we got down to Nehemiah's third opposition. And this is where we begin today in chapter number 5. How that Nehemiah now faced the sin of greed among his own people. You know what? Greed is something that, I'm going to tell you, greed is something that's hard to get over. Once people get hold of things, they want more. That's our nature, is it not? It's our nature to want more. And man, we don't just thank God for what he gives us. We just beg for more. And that's not the way we ought to be. And here in Nehemiah chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible said this. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. And there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that they may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought under bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them. For other men have our lands and vineyards. Now you see what the devil was doing here? I want you to look at this. He first attacked Nehemiah and the people from the outside. Okay? But now he attacks them from the inside. Through a lack of spiritual insight in the hearts of some of the leaders of these people. These people were now being attacked by Satan. When you go back and you look at Nehemiah chapter 4, just a moment. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6. Where before here, the Bible said in this verse, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And then in verse number 19, we saw how Nehemiah said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we have separated upon the wall one far from another. Now we read in this very first verse in chapter 5, the Bible said, and there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. And in verse number 6, we see the reason. Look at verse number 6. He said, "For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live." You know, as the crops in Jerusalem had failed and food shortages popped up everywhere. I mean, they were just everywhere. They were without food. Yes, sir? Coffee's ready if anybody wants it. All right. Just do it quietly, okay? All right. There were those that had stored up a surplus of food. There were folks that stored up food, and they were selling it for exorbitant prices. And you know what? We've seen that happen in our own country, have we not? Grocery stores, they know that stuff is short, and they sell it for a lot more than what it's supposed to be sold for. Even gas prices. Man, I've heard gas prices are going down, but I've not seen it here locally a whole lot. I haven't seen that. But they were making a profit on the losses and the heartaches of other folks around them. And folks, that's wicked. That's sinfully greedy to do something like that. But yet, these people were doing it because they were thinking only of themselves and not of others. They were thinking of everybody else. So now in verses 6 through 19, Nehemiah responds to this problem. And he responds with both a message of confrontation and restitution among the people. I want you to look at this a minute. Look at what it said. In anger, I mean, he was upset. He ought to have been upset. He was upset with his sinful stuff. And look what he said, starting in verse number 6. "And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his own brother. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer." I'll tell you why they found nothing to answer. Because they knew they were guilty. They knew they were wrong. They knew they had committed a sin that was, man, God was not happy with this, folks. God's not happy with greediness like this. "Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses. Also the hundredth part of the money of the corn, the wine, the oil that ye exact of them." And then in verses 12 through 19, look, we see here how the people responded to Nehemiah's words and his admonition for them to remember the godly example that he had set before them. Nehemiah had tried to do things right. Nehemiah had tried to encourage the people to do that which was right. Man, I tell you what, this is a chapter you ought to read. You ought to go through this whole thing. What a chapter to help you and I today in one of the greatest hindrances of the work of the ministry is the condition of the hearts of God's people within the ministry itself. We look at what all God has given us and we think, well, man, look how God's blessed me. You think I'm going to give more to God? You think I'm going to give to God? You think I'm going to help anybody? Man, that's a wrong attitude to have, isn't it? And you know what? If our hearts are not right with God, then neither will our work or any of our practices in our everyday life be right in the sight of God. We need to do it from our heart. We need to do what we do for the Lord. I do my tithing online. And when I get paid, I tithe. And something happened with the new setup or something here. My tithing thing didn't come out right. And I was looking at it this morning and I thought, oh, Lord, did it not come out yet? And I checked the bank and it didn't come out and didn't do right. So I did it again and it came out. And I thought, my goodness, I can't cheat the Lord. Man, you want to cheat somebody, that's one thing, but you don't cheat God. You don't take away from what God has given. And listen, when we give unto God and to the work of the Lord, we give as the Lord has prospered us. We're giving back to God. Why? Because we're thankful for what God has done. You know what? It's not a hindrance. It's not a burden to help somebody else. It's not a burden to do that. And you know what? These people had said, well, if we're going to give anything, if these people need something, we're going to make them pay a big price for it. They're going to pay for it if they want it from us. And man, God was not happy with that at all. So in this particular chapter, it helps us see the fact of greed and how it can attack even the people of God. And if we're not careful, we need to keep our hearts right with God so that we keep our attitude with God right. Amen. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, indeed.
Now I want you to look at chapter 6. We come now to chapter 6, and here we see the fourth opposition in chapter number 6. And Nehemiah faces this thing, and this is a bad one. Nehemiah faces now evil plots against his own life from the enemy. Did you know that if the devil could have his way, he would kill every child of God that's on this earth? He would do away with every soul winner. He would do away with every pastor, every preacher, every missionary, every choir member, every Sunday school teacher, every person that works in the nursery. He would do away with every one of them. Why? Because he hates those who try to do what's right for God. He hates them. And folks, I want you to understand today, there is an enemy that would love to destroy. He goes from without to destroy. He comes within and tries to destroy. And then he sends in the enemies. And folks, there are enemies of the gospel today. There are enemies that do not want this church giving out the message of the gospel today. There are folks that think we're stupid. We're a cult for giving out gospel message and gospel tracts. And they don't want to have anything to do with it. And they'll do everything that they can do to try to stop what is going on here and reaching our community with the message of the gospel. Nehemiah faced that same situation here with building these walls. And I want you to look here at Nehemiah chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not yet set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." Well, that's what I would have thought. Oh, no, not me. I'm not going there. Mm-mm. "But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner." And buddy, if that's not enough, look at verses 5 through 9. Look what the Bible said. "Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel." What did they do? They stirred up an evil report against the good work of God. Now, folks, that's what the world will do today. They'll stir up an evil work. Listen, down in North Carolina, we had some young people that got saved, wanted to follow the Lord in believers' baptism after they had gotten saved. Wanted folks to tell their parents about the Lord Jesus, and we tried to tell them about Christ. And when they found that, when we asked them, we always got permission to be able to baptize those young people. You know, if they were under the age of 18, we always had to ask for permission. And one of the parents consulted a lawyer.
Oh,
about our church baptizing their young people. Now, these kids were about 14, 15 years of age, I think they were at that time. And they said, you don't want to expose your children to teaching like that, where they go in and make those children change in front of people and all that stuff. And we didn't do stuff like that. Oh, my goodness. They came up with all kinds of accusations. And folks, that's what the devil does to try to hinder the work of the Lord. And folks, we need to expect the devil to do what he does. The devil can only do the evil that he does because he's not saved. I used to pray for the devil. After I got saved, I used to pray that he'd get saved. I said, Lord, if he'd just get saved, he wouldn't be the devil anymore. And I got into the Word of God and found out that wasn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. And folks, these people saw when they couldn't stop them, they couldn't threaten him, they couldn't get him to come to their ecumenical meeting so that they could change his mind, okay? I get these emails all the time wanting me to meet down here at the Mormon Tabernacle Church or whatever it is and meet with all the other pastors and all that preach at these nursing homes and things like that so we can work toward helping our community. I'm not going down there with that stuff. I'm not going down there to meet with them. Listen, we're on two different teams. They say, oh, we're all brothers. You can't be my brother unless we got the same father. Amen. And they don't have the same father I got. And listen to me, folks. Nehemiah stood up. It broke his heart. Number one, that they were trying to sidetrack him. But then they send this open letter to him. And they accuse him of doing things and the Jews of doing things that they were not doing. They had the king's permission. You remember that, right? They had the king's permission. They had the king's provision. They had the king's protection. And yet they write this letter. And it says, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. So there's the threat. He's saying, oh, we're hearing that you're going to be the king, and we're going to go and tell the king what you're saying, unless you do what we want you to do. You see the threat? You see what they're trying to do? They're trying to stop the work of God. And then look what he said. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. That was their request. If you don't do this, we're going to send this letter full of lies to the king and let him know how that you're going to rebel. And you're going to set yourself up as a king. And you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And it was all a lie, folks. It was all a lie. And they said, then, come now, therefore, let us take counsel together. In other words, you come on over here and compromise with us. Folks, compromise is not your friend. We don't need to compromise this old book. We don't need to compromise the work that we're doing for God. We need to stay faithful. Then look what Nehemiah said. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. And then what did he do? He went to God. And he said, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. In these verses, we see how the enemies of God, they tried to lure the man of God away from the work of God. They tried to lure him away, and God had already given him this work to do. God had commanded Nehemiah to do this with the people, but that plot didn't work. They wanted him to compromise, but their plot wouldn't work. And we see here in verses 1 through 4 that when the attempt to lure away Nehemiah from God's work happened, it happened four times. And then on the fifth try, beginning there in verse 5, the enemies came forth this time with false accusations. and trying to make him look like a bad guy and set himself up as the king. And Nehemiah tells him, I mean, he's angry. And he writes to them and he says, listen, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. In other words, he called them liars. Amen. He told them exactly what they were. You're a bunch of liars. And your imaginations and thoughts are wicked. And we're not putting up with this. So in verse number 10, the Bible said here, afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, of the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehatabel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. And let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. But folks, we find out that this was another attempt on Nehemiah's life. They were trying to lure him there to get him to hide, and they were going to kill him while he's there. It was supposed to be a safety place. It was supposed to be a place of safety where the enemies of God wouldn't be there, but they were really going to come in and were going to try to kill him there. So look now how Nehemiah responded to this attack. And he responded with godly integrity and firmness of spirit. Look at beginning in verse number 11. Look what he said. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had what? Had hired him. Well, I saw yesterday where Soros paid some $20,000 or $20 million to get folks to protest everything that's going on in our government. $20 million. He's paying protesters. Folks to come in from different states to go to different places and protest. He's funding all this stuff. Oh, my goodness. And here, Sanballat and Tobiah had started funding these enemies of Nehemiah and the people of God. And they were enemies of God. The Bible said, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired them. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. You know what God gave to Nehemiah? God gave him discernment. Discernment. And folks, let me say this, and I don't mean to say this meanly or make it sound like I'm trying to be mean, but there are a lot of folks today just don't have spiritual discernment about anything. They will follow anybody on anything, anywhere. And I want to encourage you, get in the book. Get in the Word of God. Find out what saith the Lord. What does God say about the matter? Listen, there are people today trying to convince us that if we follow the moral principles of this book and we do that which is right in the eyes of God, then we are terrorists and we are problem makers in our cities, and we are just causing all the situations that are causing our country to just go down the hill. But folks, that is not the situation at all. Righteousness exalteth a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people, the Bible said. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Not money, not the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party, not some communist socialistic party. Man, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus today. And we need to get in the Word of God. And folks, when we get in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to get in us, We won't be sidetracked by all this other crowd that wants to sidetrack us from doing what God said do. Nehemiah had spiritual discernment. Listen to me today. You'll always be able to find somebody disgruntled about something. And you know what? It happens in families. It happens in churches. It happens in schools. It happens in business. It happens everywhere you go. You're going to find folks that are disgruntled about something all the time. But let me share with you something that you need to take heart to today. I want you to turn over to the book of Romans, chapter number 16, just a moment. Romans chapter number 16. And I want you to see this. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 17, the Bible said, Paul wrote here, he said, "Now I beseech you, brethren," he's talking to Christians, "mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and buddy up with them." Is that what it says? Oh, compromise with them. That's what it says, right? Compromise with them. No. The Bible says, avoid them. Don't go around them. Why? Look at verse 18. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Folks, the devil is nothing but a deceiver. And all he wants to do is to get you and me distracted today. To get us off track. To get us away from doing what God has saved us to do. And he'll do it in any way that he can do that. And we need spiritual discernment today. I want you to turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Go over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. I think I wrote down the right verse here. And beginning in verse number 16, I want you to look at this with me. "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." You know what an abomination is? I wrote it right here in my Bible. Something regarded with disgust or a hatred. Something detestable in the eyes of God. "These seven things are an abomination unto God." Look at it. Number one, a proud look. Boy, that's what the enemies of God had done, hadn't they? They came up proud. "Oh, these walls aren't going to stand if a little fox goes up. That fox will knock down their walls." And they were just laughing. They had a lying tongue. Look at that, number two. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Boy, we're seeing that today, are we not? How many millions upon millions of unborn babies have been butchered and slaughtered and murdered in the womb? God hates it. You can't tell me that that's approved by God. It's not. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. Look at this. "A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren." Those are seven things that God counts as abomination. They're detestable in his eyes. God hates it. And every one of these things, these people had done to Nehemiah and to the people of God, trying to cause them to stop the work of God from progressing. And you listen to me today, folks. This is the same thing that's going to happen in your life. Folks are going to do these things to try to get you to stop living for God. To cause you to compromise. to cause you to get disgruntled with other people. And one person will complain, and then you'll find something that, well, you know, they are right about this. That pastor is not perfect. And he, boy, he does preach a little long, and sometimes he forgets what he's going to say. Well, man, I forget where I live sometimes. I put up reflector signs so I can just find where to turn into my driveway at night, okay? So I don't drive down the hill. Listen, you're going to find all kinds of people going to cause all kinds of situations in your life. But you need to ask God for some spiritual discernment today. You need to ask God, Lord, what would you have me to do? And what you need to do is mark those folks, and you need to avoid them. Avoid them. Now, we finished this lesson today, but I want to ask you this simple question. When was the last time that Satan tried to discourage you from accomplishing the work that God has saved you to do or called you to do, especially for Him? You know what? I face this every day. There are days I think, Lord, is it really worth this? Is it really worth dealing with these issues? Yeah, I told Pastor one day, I said, you know, if it wasn't for people, ministry would be a great thing. It wouldn't be a bad thing. But you know what? I love people. And I love you folks. And I want you to live for God. I want you to see the work that God has saved you to do. And what is that work? It's to take the message of the gospel everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. And you know what? The devil's going to try to do what he can do to stop you. He is going to try to do everything he can do to distract you. He's going to try to do everything he can do to get you to compromise the Word of God. Don't do it. Stand strong. When you face opposition and you don't know what to do, take it to the Lord and leave it there. I don't know about you, but sometimes I want to react instead of respond. Okay? You know the difference between reacting and responding, right? Okay? Reacting is coming out there and just throwing karate chops on everybody. And that's not what we got to do, folks. Sometimes we just got to go and get on our knees and ask the Lord for wisdom and ask the Lord for boldness. And ask the Lord for discretion and discernment so that we can see what is right and what is wrong. And then we need to ask God for the power to do that which is right. And folks, that's what Nehemiah did. And because God gave him the strength that he needed, he gave him the wisdom, he gave him the discernment he needed to have, the walls were completed in record time. And in chapter 6, the Bible said it was finished, all of it done, in 52 days. Can you imagine the walls of Jerusalem rebuilt, all the rubble discarded, done away with, new gates, new iron bars put up on the windows. Everything was done within 52 days.
4 miles.
All the way around. All the way around. Can you imagine? Now think about that. The same God that did this for Nehemiah is the same God that lives in your heart and my heart today. And you know what? There's a work that he wants us to do. You say, but preacher, it's impossible to reach our community with the gospel. It may be impossible in man's eyes, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. Our God's hand is not shortened. It's not shortened. God is able to do that which seems impossible. We've just got to be willing to trust Him and to obey Him. And that's what I would encourage you to do. When you face opposition, and when you face the very imps of hell upon your soul, and everything that you're trying to do, you need to give it to God. And allow God to be the one to help you, to lead you, to direct you, and to give you the wisdom to finish the job that he has called you to do. And folks, I'm telling you, he'll do it. He's faithful. Our God is faithful. Our theme verse from Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 9 said, "And I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies?" I hope this lesson will help you to see and understand just how important your walk is with God on a personal basis. And you know what? My children can't depend on me. Okay? Don't look to me. I've told them, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Listen, if I died today, if something happened to me, and God forbid it does, but if I die today, I don't want anybody to come back and say, "Well, my God's dead, so I'm going to not serve God anymore." You know, the only reason I was serving God was because Brother Ray did. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And when the devil opposes you, get this old book. Plant your heart and your soul within its pages and let it be planted in your heart that you can stand faithful to God even as Nehemiah and the people of God did. Amen. Facing opposition, it's going to come, folks. You're going to face it. How we face it is going to make all the difference in this world. And you never know. We'll never know until we get to heaven what difference it's going to make in somebody else's life. How we faced opposition. Don't quit. Don't stop serving God. Don't get mad at those around you. If you want to get mad at somebody, let me tell you who to get mad at. Get mad at the devil. He's our enemy today. And that's the one we need to be fighting against and trying to tell everybody we can how to go to heaven. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today. And Lord, I want this lesson about facing opposition, I want it to sink into our hearts. Because, Father, each of us are going to face opposition. Each of us today, as born-again children of God, are under attack. And Lord, the devil would do all that he could do to stop us, to hinder us, to distract us from keeping the main thing, if we allow him to do that. But God, I pray, Lord, today that you would be our strength. Lord, you would be our strong and mighty tower, that when the opposition comes, we can fall upon our knees and we can cast our burdens upon you. Lord, we can do that because you care for us. You want us to do that. And you want us to be found faithful. And God, the only way we can do that is in the power of your strength and the power of your might. And Lord, I pray that today you'll help us to face the opposition boldly. Not in our power, but in your power, in the power of your word. And Lord, there will be someone today that's listening to the sound of my voice that's never been saved. God, they don't know you yet as their own personal Savior. Father, how I pray that today would be the day that you would help them to see their need of accepting you as their own personal Savior. To turn away from being deceived by the devil and turn into the Savior that gave his life that they might have eternal life. Help them, God, to be saved today. Bless now our pastor as he stands to preach. Fill him with your power. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. We love you today. You can go get your coffee now.